You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Our Easter scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. And it says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain." This is the reading of God's word. Well, happy Easter. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Easter is the celebration of Jesus' resurrection, and really the resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. It's why it's one of the biggest dates of all dates on the Christian calendar. And the resurrection of Jesus has changed everything. You know, I'm sure this year, with the pandemic that we're living in, there's probably a lot of people that are tuning into some kind of Easter service this year that might not normally be interested, whether that's viewing online or whether that's listening to a sermon. They're wanting to know, what does the Christian faith say to the broken world that we're living in? And usually, from my experience, these Easter messages fall in one of two camps. The first one's really unfortunate, and it goes something like this. Easter is really just symbolic. It's just symbolic of inspiration for a new beginning, that after tragedy, a new beginning can come. But what we're holding out is not that Easter is just symbolic, but it's supernatural truth and it's supernatural reality of a brand new life, and it changes everything. And that's what Paul, the apostle, lays out for us in this passage today. And so from the passage, here's the four aspects of truth that we're going to see. That there is news that Paul has announced from God. The news has been announced. Secondly, the news is of first importance. And then thirdly, the news has to be received by faith. And then lastly, the news changes everything in your life. The news has been announced. The news is of first importance. The news has to be received by faith. And when it is, it changes everything in your life. And so when Paul's talking about the news, he calls it the gospel. And that's what gospel means. It's a particular kind of news. It's good news. And you'll see in verse 1 and 2 where he says that he's announced this news. That's what preaching means. Look with me in verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now I'd remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you," or "I announced to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you." This good news is what God has done in the world, what God has done through his son Jesus to rectify and reconcile the broken human condition, the hearts that are broken and the world that is broken. And then secondly, he says that this news that has been announced of what God has done in Jesus is of first importance. And you see that in verses 3 through 5. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and then to the 12. So what was the news specifically that Paul announced? It was this, that God had entered into the world, that God had entered into our story, that God took on flesh and he became our representative in this broken world to reconcile us back to God, that Jesus, the Son of God, fully man, became our representative, and he kept God's holy law perfectly and joyfully to become our righteousness. But he died on a cross, and when he did that, although we receive his righteousness by faith, he took our sin so that God's justice could be met in full. He absorbed in his body the full justice and penalty for our sin. And that he died, a real death. Wasn't a stupor, wasn't a coma. It was a real death, 3 days. And then on the third day, he was raised victorious over death. And the Bible says that because this is true, that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. This is the news. That somehow Jesus' death on the cross became our death, but also his resurrection became our resurrection. And Paul says all of this, he says it repeatedly, was in accordance with the scriptures. Why does he say that? Why does he keep repeating it? Because what he's saying is, God kept his promise. This has been promised for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, from the very beginning of the human history and the human story, God had made a promise that someone was coming who would rectify what's broken in this world, what's broken in our hearts, and what's broken in the world around us. All the way back in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, God says this to the serpent Satan, there's one coming, and his heel will crush your head. And Paul's saying, it's happened. It's happened in accordance with the scripture. He's come. Jesus has entered into the story and he's done what God said he would do. And it's changed everything. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. It's everything in your life. And it's everything in the way you face death. And it's everything in the way that you face everything in between, that everything hinges on this news. And that this news was assured for us in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And Paul says, that is the most important thing in all of life. The most important thing. You know, if you'll think with me for a minute, when we turn on the news, particularly right now in the pandemic, when you turn on the news or when you go to your news application on your digital device, what usually comes first? What's most important? The news doesn't start with cooking tips or beauty advice or how to cultivate a better garden in your backyard. No, it tells you the news that has the greatest effect on your life right now. We certainly see that in the pandemic. And that's what Paul's saying. Spiritually, it's that way. Spiritually speaking, this is the most important news, and it affects everything else in your life. And so I wonder if we would be honest with ourselves for a moment, how often do we take what God says is of first importance? And in our lives, if we're honest, it's not first importance because our hearts have been mangled and broken by sin. So often our tendency is to not look for good news to believe, but for good advice to follow. We just say, give me some good advice to follow. Give me some tips and give me some techniques because I want to cope. I want to cope with the brokenness that I know is in me. And I want to cope with the brokenness that's going on all around me. People are doing that right now in masses. But Jesus didn't come to give us good advice to follow. He came to give us good news that we believe, and it changes everything. Not to cope, but to overcome. Scripture is saying that what Jesus has done addresses what's most important in life, and what's most important in life is the brokenness in your heart. The sin has broken us. That's what's most important. You know, we live in North Texas. We live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And it seems like where we live every season, every spring season is tornado season. And if you heard that a tornado was bearing down on your house, it's not the time that you go look up cooking tips and beauty advice. You want to know how to protect yourself. You want to know how to deal with the calamity that could be coming your way. Those other things are not the most important thing. I want you to think of it this way. Because what's most important is what's wrong with our heart. If Jesus truly rectifies what's wrong with our hearts, do you see by implication that means that he will answer all the other issues of life? If Jesus can rectify our hearts that are broken, and he can reconcile us back to God with full security, with full acceptance, with full forgiveness, with full love and adoption, then he's going to help us see and face all of life well. You know, the Bible says it like this, that out of your heart flow all the issues of life. All the issues of life. And so if our hearts are broken and we stay in our brokenness, then the way we see all of life is going to be broken. And no amount of good advice and no amount of tips and techniques to cope can ever change that. But what Jesus has done changes it. What the Bible is saying is that our hearts are broken and we cannot fix our hearts through good advice. Paul says that this news that he's announced of what God has done in Jesus does. It reconciles us back to God. It answers death itself. It goes to the center of the human condition. It goes to the center of the human heart, and it brings about something supernatural, not just symbolic. That's why it's the most important thing in your life. Do we make it first importance? Thirdly, he says, this news that he's announced is to be received. That means by faith. That the news is announced, and the way we receive it is by faith in our hearts. In other words, it is not something we can achieve. It has to be received by faith. That Jesus is the one who achieved what was needed. And we simply receive that by faith. He says that in verses 1 and 2. He said, I remind you of the gospel, the good news that I preached to you, that I announced to you. And then he says this, which you received. That means they believed Jesus. They trusted Jesus. There was a transfer in their hearts from trusting in themselves to trusting in other things. And they put all of their trust in Jesus and who he was and what he had accomplished in their behalf as their representative. Which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. The news is to be heard in our hearts and believed. And when we do, our hearts are changed. Everything changes for us. And you see this throughout all of Christian history. Not just today, we're still seeing it today, but if you go back to the very earliest Christians, after the resurrection of Jesus had occurred, and you read about the early Christians, here's what you would really discover. They were predominantly very poor people, but they were the most generous of all the people in their cities. Very poor, but more generous than the rich people. They were severely oppressed because of their faith, yet they were the most joyful people in the city. They loved even their enemies. They loved the people that persecuted them. They even blessed the people that persecuted them and wanted to kill them. And they loved each other that they sacrificially gave of everything they had just to give to each other that had any kind of need. Can I propose to you that good advice doesn't do that in a person's heart? Following moral principles doesn't do that in a person's heart. Tips and techniques don't accomplish that. These are people whose hearts were completely changed and were completely in awe in worship of the God that had lavished such grace and such love on them. Not symbolism. Something supernatural had occurred in their hearts. The love of God had been shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. He made them completely new people on the inside. And that's what the Bible says, that we become new creations. Everything before is gone and everything becomes brand new. That's what happened to those people. And it's still happening today in 2020. You know, in our church, here at the Village Church South Lake, people's lives like this are being changed too. I can think of one couple that's in our church. There are members here, covenant members in our church, and they both, husband and wife, love Jesus. They faithfully follow Jesus. And the husband was facing a double lung transplant. And although he was on the donor list, no donor had become available that was a match for him, and he was literally hours away from death. Hours away, very bleak. I wonder how you and I would face that situation. I remember getting a text from his wife saying, the doctors have said that they've done all they can do. You might want to come and say goodbye. Literally at death's door. But I want you to hear their perspective. I want you to hear how they faced death because Jesus had made them new people. His wife posted this at the time when he was hours away from death. Now, thankfully, the Lord provided those lungs. It seemed like at the last moment. But when it looked like it might not happen, and it looked like he may physically die, their faith in Jesus held true. And she posted this, and I've kept it because it was such an encouragement to me. Listen to what the resurrection of life of Jesus does in a person's heart in the way they face death. She said this, he is in such critical condition that it's hard to wait any longer. But we are trusting the one who holds all things together, clinging and hoping, knowing that he is good in all things and that ultimately Christ's resurrection has defeated death and sickness for all eternity, and my sweet man wins either way. That's what the resurrection of life of Jesus does in your heart. She said, Christ's resurrection has already defeated death. My husband wins either way. I don't think that would be their testimony if they thought Easter was just symbolic poetry, inspiration for some kind of imaginary new beginning. Or if Jesus was just simply a moral teacher giving us principles to follow. No, the realization of the living, resurrected Jesus lived in their hearts. And they knew that Jesus' death had become their death and that Jesus' resurrection was now their resurrection. And though his body may die physically, he would always live. And that's what Jesus said. Whoever lives and believes in me, though he die physically, yet shall he live. That's how it happened. They heard the news of Jesus and they received it by faith, and it completely changed their lives. You see, there has to be a spiritual resurrection in you, a spiritual new life first, before you can get the physical resurrection. In the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says it this way, that before Christ, we were dead, spiritually dead in our sins. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. But Jesus came and made us alive on the inside, and now we've been raised together with him in the heavenly places. A new nature, indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Our spirits that were spiritually dead, we've been made alive. And we are in union with Christ, and his resurrection has become our resurrection. Now, there's something else that Paul says that's really important, especially if you're already a Christian and you have received this news. What Paul lays out is this news is so important that you have to continually hear it even after you've become a Christian. Did you notice that? In verse 1 and 2, he said this, I want to remind you, brothers. I want to remind you, brothers, that even though you received this good news, you must now stand in it. It's still first importance. That means you don't graduate from it. Remind you means remember. Remember, brothers means Christians. He's talking to Christians and he said, I want you to remember, Christians, even though you received this news initially for your salvation, now you are to stand in that news. You are to still receive that news. You are still hear that news and keep believing it, because the more you hear it, the more you can believe it. And the more you believe it, the deeper it works in your soul. And the deeper it works in your soul, the more Christ-like you become and the more your perspective of all of life changes. We never graduate from needing to hear the gospel because our hearts are broken. And I know myself, I'm sure probably you're no different than me. If I don't hear this news continually, my heart's bent like a lot of people. I'll start looking for good advice. Give me some good advice to follow. Because it's really hard for us in our brokenness to believe. It's just good news that you believe. But that's the gospel. That it's the news of what Jesus has accomplished, not us. So we receive it in faith for our salvation, but then we keep believing it to stand in it, this gospel of Jesus. And then lastly, Paul makes this point. This news of Jesus changes everything in your life. Verses 5 through 10, he lays this out. And that Jesus appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. What's Paul saying? He's really saying two things about the resurrection. First of all, he says, look at my life. Look at me. If Jesus Christ can change me, he can change anybody. I persecuted Christians. I willingly observed why Christians were murdered because of their faith. I'm the least. I was the worst. And the resurrected Jesus came to me and he completely changed me. It took me from a persecutor of the church to becoming an apostle of the church. Everything has changed. That's what he was saying. But then there's a second thing he's saying too. He's saying, watch me, see my life, but not only that, listen to the historical evidence. That's what he's saying. He's listing out all the people that witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, and it was hundreds of people. In other words, he's saying the resurrection of Jesus from the dead affirms everything that God has said about who Jesus is and what he came to accomplish. And he said, if that's not true, let's cash it in. That's basically what he says in verse 32. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Jesus is just another moral teacher. But he has risen from the dead, and everything has changed. And here's how you can know, not just by looking at my life. Listen to the historical witnesses, that the tomb was empty after 3 days, that the two Marys, the gospel tells us, in the Gospel of Matthew, the two Marys were the first to get to Jesus' tomb on the third day, and they saw that it was empty. Then Peter came and saw that the tomb was empty. Then the 12 disciples saw the resurrected Jesus in person. Then Paul said 500 other men saw him, the resurrected Jesus. Peter said, and then Paul says, I experienced him. He changed me. And this becomes even more important when you think about this fact. When Paul wrote this, it was only about 20 years after the resurrection had occurred. That's like you or I talking about something very important that happened in the year 2000, not that long ago. And hundreds of people witnessed the resurrected Jesus. And the resurrection in the Christian faith is God saying, I affirm who my son is, and I affirm everything that he's done through his life and through his death. And my raising him from the dead brings my affirmation that it's all true. You read that in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 31, it says this, because God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man, that's Jesus, whom he has appointed. And of this, he has given assurance. God has given us assurance. How? By raising Jesus from the dead. He's saying you can bank on it. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 says pretty much the same thing. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. I heard one pastor describe it this way. You know, a lot of times when you go to the store and you're talking about something you've purchased, they always want to see your receipt, because your receipt is your proof that it's been purchased. And what the scriptures are telling us is the resurrection is God's proof that Jesus has purchased everything for you that God said he purchased. It's God's proof that he's purchased your forgiveness forever. It's his proof that he's adopted you as a son and a daughter forever. It's his proof that you are secure in the work of Christ forever. It's the proof that Jesus has purchased all these things for you. Your assurance, Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And so we can see clearly from the scriptures that Jesus, he didn't come just to become a moral teacher. He didn't come just to become a dispenser of moral principles that we would follow. No, he came to declare life that we would receive, to bring good news, not good advice. And can I say, really for all of us, what our hearts need the most right now in every day of our life is really not good advice to follow, but good news to believe. And that's what Jesus came to bring. And so when we think about the church, and although we can't gather because of the pandemic, but even when we are gathering or when we're watching online, when we think about the church, all of this is telling us is church is not primarily about coming to ask questions like, what would Jesus do, but instead hearing what Jesus did. He's the one that has already done the work. And that's what Paul's saying. He lived righteously. He died for sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. All of it's been purchased, your forgiveness. All of it's been purchased, your adoption. All of it's been purchased, your security. It's not symbolic. It's not poetic symbolism to try to give us some kind of human inspiration. It's supernatural truth. It takes spiritually dead people and it makes them alive. It reconciles them to God and they live with him forever. And it changes the way they see all of life right now because it has power over death. I want you to think with me, what would the implications be of knowing the reality of the resurrection in the way you face everyday life right now? Everyday life, whether we're in a pandemic or not. Do you see, if Jesus has been raised from the dead and if Jesus' resurrection has become our resurrection, then it totally changes the way we face life. Paul describes that in this chapter. It's some verses down from the passage we were in today, but I want to read it to you in verse 30 through 32. He says this, "Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with the beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." What's Paul saying? Here's what he's saying. I can face death because Christ has already defeated death for me. I no longer fear death. And a man or a woman that no longer fears death in Jesus, they live boldly. They live courageously in their faith because they're no longer afraid of physical death because Christ's resurrection has become their resurrection. And it's totally transformed the way they see the world and it's transformed the way they see life and the way they face death. No longer in fear, but in boldness and confidence in Christ. See, when you place faith in Jesus, for you, death has already been defeated. And the scriptures are saying that you become secure forever in Christ. That spiritually speaking, you are in complete union with Christ. You are alive right now in Christ. You've been raised together with Christ. Now the Bible says, now with that truth, go face life. Go live life boldly. Jesus' death for sin has become your death, but his resurrection has become your resurrection. Will you believe that? Will you believe that? This news is of first importance. Will you believe it? You say, well, how do I know if I believe it? Because you didn't used to believe it, and now you do. And it's not perfect faith. There's just, you realize there's something stirring in your heart that wasn't there before about Jesus. And I encourage you to tell somebody. If you've trusted Jesus, tell somebody. If you're a Christian, can I just remind you again that your assurance in life and in death is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? I want to ask three questions, and then I'm going to pray. If you're honest, what are you making first importance in your life? What really, really has first importance in your life? Is it what Paul proclaimed? Secondly, how does the resurrection of Jesus help you face life right now in your current circumstances? Do you see how it makes a difference? And then thirdly, are you hearing this news of Jesus and what he's done consistently so that you can stand in it every day? Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And it has changed everything. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, would you please help us today to see that your word is telling us that we are, even as Christians, we are to be continually reminded of what we have already heard and received, that Christ lived for us, that he died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead on the third day according to your scriptures. And now everything in life and everything in the way we face death and everything in between and all of our circumstances has changed. Lord, please help us believe more deeply and live more boldly in the reality of your resurrection life in Christ. It's in his name and by the power of the Spirit I pray. Amen. Amen.